after just 54 days as Director General of the BBC, George Entwistle has gone. He gave his resignation on Saturday, and within the last hour, the BBC's Director of News, Helen Bowden, and her deputy, Steve Mitchell, have stepped aside. And in another development, more details have emerged about the decision-making process behind the now discredited Newsnight investigation. The controller of BBC Radio 5 Live, Adrian Van Claveren, was in overall charge of the investigation, and he reported to a member of the BBC's management board, the director of BBC Northern Ireland, Peter Johnston. It's been a turbulent few weeks for the BBC, first Savile and then last week's Newsnight investigation, which wrongly implicated a senior Tory peer in a child sex abuse scandal. So what now for the BBC? Well, I'm joined by Roy Greenslade, who's a media commentator and a former editor of The Mirror, and now Professor of Journalism at City University in London, and Sam Kevill, who's a former editor of Newsnight and director of BBC World News. Good morning to you both, Roy. If I could start with you, I mean, crisis isn't overplaying this. I mean, where do we go from here? What next?
Well, no, I think it's a genuine crisis, all right. You know, you might want to put it in perspective. There have been crises for the BBC before, but I think this situation day by day grows infinitely worse. We have to get a sense of perspective about this. It is one programme and one segment of one programme which has caused this problem. That's not to minimise the fact that it is, as Lord Paton, the chairman of the BBC Trust, said, shoddy journalism which has created this problem. But think of the amazing level, amount, range of journalistic output day after day across the whole of the BBC, and you have to understand that it's not the world's worst moment ever. So we must get that, I think, into perspective before we actually attack what's happened. But to lose a director general, to have the director head of news step aside and her deputy, that is obviously a very bad situation for the corporation.
Roy, do you think Mr. Entwistle had any choice but to go? I mean, he's editor-in-chief, yes, but surely at that level, you know, he could reasonably assume that a reporter would have checked, double-checked it, and checked again.
Well, I think you used the word assume, and I think that was the difficulty he faced. I thought, really, what downed him in the end was the BBC's own journalism, namely the interview with John Humphreys on the Today programme on Saturday. He was completely destroyed by that. He showed that he'd not really been across the subject. I agree that he shouldn't intimately micromanage and news edit every programme, but here was a man who knew he was already amid a crisis, who'd not even noted the important cavils that had been raised about the Newsnight investigation, firstly in a Guardian, mostly in a Guardian front-page story by David Lee, its investigations editor, in which he poured scorn on the investigation. And secondly, the alarm raised by the fact that Channel 4 had previously said that they'd put these allegations to the person and he had completely denied them. This wasn't at all dealt with. And then we discover that he'd not even noted that there'd been an early tweet which had set the hairs running and knew nothing about it. So it was this almost a joke about calling him Incurious George. He does seem, and if you add on the fact that he'd not shown much interest previously in the Savile investigation when he was head of Vision, the Incurious George, the lack of journalistic curiosity really did for him in the end.
Sam Kevill, you, former editor of Newsnight and director of BBC World News, you've moved, and you know the corridors of power, and you have positions that would maybe give you an insight into how these sorts of things work. I mean, what you have heard over the course of the weekend in terms of chains of command and how decisions are taken, have you been surprised, shocked, flabbergasted, not surprised at all?
No, I have been profoundly shocked. I mean, the way this crisis keeps unravelling, I mean, anybody who's worked and is a supporter of the BBC can't but be incredibly shocked. In terms of, the chains of command and things like that, in some ways they have worked quite well for the BBC in the past. But they work well when there's actually somebody at the top who decides to get rid of them all at one point. And I've seen this many times in my career when, you know, you're doing an investigation yourself, it's going up the chains of command. If it's a particular sensitive one, there does come a point where, you know, the person who's making the ultimate decision says, right, OK, let's sit down. And they don't just get me in. They usually get the reporter, me, the whole team involved and, you know, go through everything. So all the chains of command, you know, for something really big, we usually just sort of pushed to one side and everybody got together and really went through everything.
And from your experience with Newsnight, I mean, a story of this magnitude, were you surprised when you heard that the Director General hadn't asked to see the film, didn't particularly know that the film was going to go out, and the first time he saw it was actually the day after?
Yes, I mean, you have to be, I mean, given, I mean, for a film like that, naming, well, not naming, but, you know,
alluding to
a senior Tory, you know, even just mentioning that a senior Tory was involved, I mean, it's a huge story. It would be extraordinary to me that it hadn't gone, you know, at least that he wouldn't have been told. And I do think that there's some questions about, you know, who is advising him over these 2 days. But put that to one side, yes, I think it is extraordinary, but particularly in the light of what happened, you know, where the BBC was at that point, which is in the throes of a major crisis connected with paedophilia around Savile. It seems extraordinary that the same programme involved in that, doing another investigation, that didn't hit alarm bells, you know, right the way up the organisation, and you'd have thought he would have heard about this at the beginning of the week when it came on, you know, when it was, you know, even first mooted. It's extraordinary.
We've heard the news this morning about Helen Bowden and Steve Mitchell stepping aside. Are you expecting other fallers in this? Do you think maybe not a witch hunt, but, you know, there will be people who will be, I don't know, hung out to dry, so to speak, or called to account for their actions over the last number of days? Is George Entwistle the only person that we're likely to see falling on his sword?
It's not really for me to say, but I think it may be worth looking back to Hutton, where obviously at that point the Director General and the Chairman went, but actually the news executives who'd been involved in the report and investigation of the report and so forth did not go, and in that sense stepped aside, may encompass that they may be moved into, you know, other posts.
Because the big question is who ultimately took the decision to run the film. You can't say that was George Entwistle, because he's already told us he didn't even see it.
No, I mean, we know that there were other people who made the decision. And I don't want to preempt what the report is going to see. They may not have had all the facts. Who knows? But I think that there is, there's obviously going to be, there has to be an accounting, because ultimately the BBC is a publicly accountable body. So I think, you know, there has to be an accounting for what went wrong. Whether that adds up to more resignations, I don't know.
But there is
a worry now, you know, that we, you know, there has been quite a lot of senior people leaving the BBC over the last 2 years because of redundancies to get preparation for cuts. You know, a whole layer of management around a former Deputy Director General, Mark Byford, was taken out. And if that had been there, there's a question of whether this would have happened. Who knows? But I think we have to be very careful that we don't empty the BBC of all its grey hairs.
Yeah, yes, but...
I think we've just got to be a little bit careful about asking for, you know, heads to roll all over the place.
No, I know that, but in terms of your experience as a former editor of Newsnight, I'm just wondering, you know, if you had a film of that substance and of that importance, if you would have expected the person above you in the chain of command to at least say, I would like to view this before it goes out.
Absolutely, I would have expected that.
So you think it would have happened?
I don't know whether that didn't happen. So, I mean, we don't know all the ins and outs of what happened, and, you know, which is what this report sitting on Tim Davies' desk since yesterday.
It's funny you should say that. Ken Macquarie, the director of BBC Scotland, has reported his findings in breaking news this morning that the following actions have been announced. You both may want to give your thoughts on this, your response to this. Number one, to address the lack of clarity around the editorial chain of command, a decision has been taken to re-establish a single management to deal with all output, Savile-related or otherwise. Number two, Helen Boden has decided that she is not in a position to undertake this responsibility until the Pollard Review has concluded. During this period, Fran Unsworth will act as Director of News. In line with this decision, Kerry Thomas will act on a temporary basis as Deputy Director in place of Stephen Mitchell. And number three, to address the pressure on the Newsnight team, Karen O'Connor has agreed to take on the role of Acting Editor of Newsnight. And number four, consideration is now being given to the extent to which individuals should be asked to account further for their actions and if appropriate disciplinary action will be taken. So number four looks in terms of looking back on what's happened, and the other three points, well, number one, a lack of clarity it seems that there is around editorial chain of command, a decision being taken to re-establish a single management to deal with all output. The middle two points, a lot of names that maybe aren't familiar to us, Sam, but it seems to be the moving around of bodies to try and get some sort of order.
Yeah, and I think this, you know, I think in a funny way, although this feels like a, you know, again, a continuation of this crisis, I think to some extent, you know, Chris Patten managed to steady things yesterday. It was a very good performance in Andrew Marr. I felt after that things would probably, I had a hunch that things would probably move quite quickly after that. And I think that this is what you're seeing now. It was faintly ridiculous that, you know, that there was no head of news, deputy head of news, Newsnight editor gone, and nothing was done for a couple of weeks, which could have contributed to the Newsnight mistake. What was absolutely clear is there could not be, from the BBC's point of view, another mistake of that order again.
But where does it leave
absolutely
Newsnight?
Because and that's why these changes are really important, to start to draw a line under it and bring some sense of grip back to news.
Where does this leave Newsnight, your old programme? I mean, here we have another acting editor on Newsnight, and we read what Jeremy Paxman had to say with interest during the week. He said that the former DG had been brought low by cowards and incompetence. He said the real problem is the BBC's decision in the wake of the Hutton inquiry to play safe by appointing biddable people. They then compounded the problem by enforcing a series of cuts in programme budgets while bloating the management. He'd hoped George might stay to sort this out. It is a great pity that a talented man has been sacrificed while time servers prosper. I mean, it's a damning indictment.
It is a damning indictment. How I have to say, I mean, you know, I don't. I think I know all the people involved, and they're all very, very good journalists. Karen was on Newsnight before I took over as an editor. She's an excellent journalist. I think that's exactly what they needed to do. They needed to bring in somebody as an interim.
This is Karen O'Connor, who's the new acting editor.
Yeah, and yeah, she's great, and I think it's exactly what they should have done, is to bring somebody in. You know, when you're a journalist, and it's a difficult job sometimes, journalists, digging, finding out things that people don't want to know, you need to have an editor. The editor figure is incredibly important in terms of challenging you, but also supporting you, and that's what news, both on Newsnight in itself, but also news more broadly, and Fran Unsworth and Kerry Thomas are both excellent journalists. I think that's exactly what was needed. They need to have people in to feel as though news is being managed. And there's a very demoralised set of journalists, I'm sure, in the BBC as a whole. And at least having some people in, you know, who you know, can give a sense of grip, give a sense that there is somebody back in command, I think is very important at this stage.
Roy Greenslade, there are a lot of issues here, and one of them are very important, we've already touched on, is in terms of, you know, how much trust does the editor leave in the journalist? And should there have been more intervention? Another issue that's raising its head this morning is the payoff for the former Director General, George Entwistle. A figure quoted this morning in the region of £450,000. He would have been entitled to 6 months. It appears he got a year's salary. What's your view on that?
Well, I think that was very unwise. I can well understand that his career is virtually at an end, and therefore he would need a good payoff to go. But I think it was flying in the face of the public's disgust with the BBC to actually give him more than he was due. I think that was very unwise, and a lot of criticism of Lord Patten for that today. I'm not absolutely certain whether the payoff was in the gift of Lord Patten. This is a really strange situation since you raise it. about where the BBC Trust stands. The BBC Trust was a replacement for the BBC governors on the understanding that the Trust would act for the viewers and listeners indeed all the people who pay the licence fee. That's what the Trust was there to do, to represent them, as distinct from the governors, which were there to govern, by their very nature, the BBC. And yet it seems, does it not, what with Lord Paton having been responsible for appointing George Entwistle and for taking the leading role that he has in the past couple of weeks, that we're back to having a BBC governor. Now, my view is, and I think, you know, I agree here with Sam, I think Paton's done a pretty good job. I think the criticism of him in the papers today, the Daily Mail's call for him to go, the Sun's call for him to go, are way wide of the mark. The Daily Telegraph has got it absolutely right by saying he's the man now who can sort it out. And if he goes, there will really be a genuinely worse crisis than we face at the moment. So it is the role of the Trust which I think now comes into focus. Is it there really to oversee and govern the BBC, which was what the governors did in the past, or is it merely a representative of the listeners and viewers? It's a really strange paradox that they now find themselves in.
Couple of other things, Roy, and on the back of what you said there, and we're just saying this morning that the Labour Party is to press for an urgent statement in the Commons this afternoon on the BBC crisis, and the request comes from the Deputy Leader, Harriet Harman, and she has criticised the decision to give the outgoing Director-General, George Entwistle, a 12-month salary payoff worth £450,000. I mean, this show in particular is about the public, the punters, and a chance for them to speak. And the big question for a lot of them, it seems, and we've heard it, you know, you're talking about the BBC Trust as in the BBC Trust, the body. What about the BBC Trust as in the trust the public have in the BBC? I mean, it'd be interesting to hear from people this morning if this has shaken their trust in the BBC. 0845955678. Do you think this has been overplayed? Do you think people trust the BBC less as a result of what they're seeing? Can the trust ever be regained?
Well, there was a poll taken a couple of weeks ago, a Comres poll. Not absolutely, in my view, perfect questions, but it did show for the first time that there'd been a lack of trust in the BBC. I think it was 47% and no longer trusted the BBC to 45% who did. Now, that is the first time in history that that has ever happened, and that was way ahead of this particular scandal. So I imagine if it was done again, it would be worse. And don't forget, we have here virtually the whole of the press being anti-BBC as well, and enjoying, almost relishing, the opportunity to down the corporation, which I find, you know, I have to say, quite disgusting as a massive supporter of public service broadcasting. So you've got to understand that there's been a manipulation of the public to distrust the BBC. But there is a crisis of trust, and, you know, the BBC has to be more credible than every other news organisation, if indeed it's to guarantee that people are going to go on paying the licence fee. So Paton needs to get way on top of this. There needs to be a regaining of credibility and trust, and that is, I think, his most important urgent task.
Sean, before you go, I know you have to rush away. We've heard this morning about Helen Bowden and Steve Mitchell, and for people just tuning in this morning, they've been asked to step aside, two other big names in the BBC sort of tree of management. They've been asked to step aside this morning. We're then seeing this statement in terms of the report into what went wrong, and the final point of that statement is saying that consideration is now being given to the extent to which individuals should be asked to account further for their actions, and if appropriate, disciplinary action will be taken. I mean, are we expecting to see more discipline meted out? Is that inevitable given point four in this statement?
I think given point four, it sounds as though it is, yes. I don't know, I really don't know who that would be, or disciplinary doesn't necessarily mean, heads will roll. I mean, it can be warnings, there's all sorts of things which make up disciplinary action. So,
and is this the end for Newsnight, do you feel? I mean, your old programme. We've heard about trust in programmes. Can Newsnight survive this?
Yes, I believe it can. I mean, it's had a glorious sort of 32-year history, you know, marred by these recent events. But, you know, the BBC is bigger, you know, with a sense of perspective, Newsnight is bigger than this. It's got a proud track record. It has very good journalists working on it.
You see, and while you're on, actually, just before you do go, can you help explain that this idea of these important investigative films being sort of farmed out to a third party, the way this one seems to have been to, you know, Bureau for Journalism? How does that work? Why would that happen if there are so many of these good journalists working on Newsnight?
I don't know. It's something that's happened post my tenure there. What I would say that, you know, increasingly with smaller budgets, not just the BBC, but many news organisations, you know, now do partnerships with, you know, not-for-profit trust bodies who are supporting investigative journalism. You know, and there have been other tie-ups with Bureau of Investigative Journalism that have worked very well for the BBC and for other news organisations. I think that, you know, so it may be a product of cuts. Secondly, I think it's also fair to say that, you know, any news organisation who is approached by a body such as that, or indeed an individual reporter, or indeed an independent production company who has a very good, you know, journalistic idea and who wants to put it onto that platform, onto that programme to put out, then you're going to look at it. I mean, you know, as a journalist, you want to get the best stories on, wherever they come from. But that does not, you know, if you decide to put it on, then you must take full responsibility for checking everything in it. And that's obviously what went wrong in this case.
Thank you very much, Sian. I know you have to disappear off, so I appreciate your time this morning. That's Sian Cavill, a former editor of Newsnight and director of BBC World News.